told from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was called the Prince of Preachers, back in the 1800s, early 1900s. Anyway, he was talking about the love of God, and I was reading it. It struck something to me, and I started reading the scripture. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you can get your milk any place, but you got to make your butter and the cream, with the cream, amen? And every once in a while, somebody will write something, or somebody will give us some little blip that will trigger our mind to something. I am amazed at what God has done for us. I am amazed what God, how He loves us and how He cares for us and how He it seems like brings things to us that encourage us to get us going and working more for Him. And I found in Isaiah this verse here. It says in verse 41 of chapter 32 of Jeremiah. He said, "Yea, I will rejoice over them that do them to do them good." The God of heaven is saying. Now, you got to remember that the prophet Jeremiah had just given the children of Israel news of the things that are about going to take place. And because of their sin, especially the sin of sacrificing their sons and their daughters in the fire of the god of Moloch, the sin seemed to be so hideous to God. It was the last straw of God's mercy to them. And they went against every principle, every law that God ever commanded to him. And if you go to Jeremiah 34 and verse 35, listen to what the Lord says. He said, "And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that caused their sons and their daughter to pass through the fire of Moloch." Now, what they had done, they had built this great big statue or this great big altar and the face, a hideous face on it. And it had its mouth open. They would heat this altar almost white hot. And then to appease this god of Moloch, they'd take their babies and throw them in to this altar and consume them. This is what God says about this. "Which I commanded them not, neither came..." Look in your Bible there. "Neither..." Now this is God speaking. "Came it into my..." What's the next word? Mind. God is speaking here. And he says that they should do this abomination. Now, you know I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Like one man said, I believe the Bible from generation to revolutions. Amen. I believe the Bible truly and completely. But I will tell you something. It seemed like God is speaking here that it surprised God that they would do something like this. Because that's what it says. It says, he says that to pass through the fire of Moloch, which I commanded them, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination. This surprised God. As a Bible-believing believer, can this be? Whatever it happened, the idea here must be that it just goes to show you what Genesis chapter 6 and 7 said. "God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of the hearts were evil, only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowl of the air, for it repented him that he made them." This is a gross indictment towards mankind. God said, it never came to my mind that they would do this. As parents, sometimes you have, or sometimes you will, have a situation in your home that you'll say, I can't believe he did that. I never thought that my child would ever be capable of doing something like that. You young parents, you better be careful how you judge older parents. And you folks ought to be very careful. You better say something because you've got grandkids and great kids coming. It is an amazing and incredible things that are happening in this world. Things that wouldn't even come to our mind that are happening today. That's why it's so important that mommies and daddies, you remember now, it's not your job to trust your child. It's your job to protect your child. It is your job to protect him from everybody. It's your job to be on alert. It's your job, just as the security forces of our country are very careful about making sure that the place that they're supposed to guard, they are guarding them. They're not asleep. It is not your responsibility to trust your child. It's your responsibility to protect them and check them. It is a God-given responsibility. Just as a boss is not expected to think everybody's good, it is his job to inspect things, not expect. And as we as Christians in our families, which are so, so important to us, these little ones that are so important to us, and these teenagers that are so important to us, and these young adults that are so important, we are to be on guard at all times. Because the things that are not thought of do happen. And then what happens in your life? Where are you going from there? In this, Jeremiah received the revelation from the Lord. And he tells the children of Israel they're about to be sent into a strange land, into a strange country with a strange language, and they're going to be taken captive. There's no mercy going to be shown to them because of their constant sin of backsliding. God has given them over to the country of Babylon to brutally punish them for their sins and to get their attention to serve the true and living God. God doesn't do things just to do things. God has a purpose in everything and a plan in everything He does. Just like you as a father should have a purpose and plan in everything your family does. Just like a mother ought to have a purpose and plan in everything she does for her children, her family, and for her husband. And God said, hey, I can't get your attention. I've given you a country that is flows with milk and honey. I've given you places where you didn't even have to build your gardens. The gardens were already there for you. I gave you wells that are already dug. I gave you homes that are already built for you. All you had to do is go in and possess it. Amen? Came out of Egypt. Came through the wilderness. Came across the Jordan. And there it was. It was all theirs. But some people just can't get it. Some people are very unthankful for what God gives them. And so they expect and try to do more and get more and more. They just lust for more. But in the Bible we find a very interesting, amazing truth. In all this, God still loved them with an everlasting love. And I want to remind you that there's things that happen in your life, and your children may do some things that you just never even thought they were capable of doing, but you still are to love them. Don't burn your bridges. Be very careful. It happened. What are you going to do? God says He has an unchanging love for us. I believe there is some things that will happen in our lives if we continue to go against the principles of the Word of God, and you see it right here. Same way in our homes, or we set up rules, policy and procedures. We set up the rule books and said, this is what's going to happen. Son, if you don't come home at a certain hour, if you don't come home when I tell you to come home, there's going to be some rewards for disobedience. And the kid says, shoot, I can be out with Miss Sally for extra 15, 20 minutes and enjoy her, and we're just having a good old time. Hey, I can take any 2 or 3 hours without TV or be out my iPad. I can do that. But the dad says, no, this is what's going to happen. You're going to park your pickup truck for 2 weeks. I told you to be home at 11 o'clock. You got home at 11:30. All right, this is what it is. Pickup truck, 2 weeks. But, Dad, it's during hunting season. I said, pickups, 2 weeks. He said, you know what? Being with a little Susie for after a Sally, Susie or Sally, doesn't make a difference. That's probably what you're eating, too. But anyway, he said, you know, this punishment is greater than enjoyment. So, therefore, when Daddy says, come home at 11 o'clock, guess what I'm going to come home at? 10:45. Because it's hunting season, and I don't have my pickup truck. Y'all get this? And God said to children, hey, I've sent prophets, and I've sent priests. I have sent kings to you. I have shown you that this is where you're supposed to go, and this is what you're supposed to do. And you will not keep the policy and procedures of the Word of God. You will not keep my commandments. Therefore, I'm going to punish you. Not because I hate you, but because I love you. Not because I hate you, because I want to protect you. Anytime I ever used force on my child was not to hurt him, it was to get him to understand that I loved him. Every time I finished my man, sometimes it takes me 20, 30 minutes to talk to him and explain, you understand what I told you? Yes, Dad. Then why did you do it? I don't know. I said, well, let's think about that a little bit. I'll be back in a little bit. You want to think about it? Tell me what. Then he comes, I said, well, Dad, I thought it was going to be more fun than this. Okay. Son, because you did that, I'm gonna spank you 3 times with this stick. You parents do not have the blessing that I used to have. You know those shades you pull down like that, and inside is a piece of wood? Now they're plastic. They will not break. But I had the wooden ones. If I struck my son too hard, it would break. I was not there to hurt my child. I was there to direct my child. It was like coming to court. I tell my boy, I said, son, go. I had 3 sons, so I'm busy, okay? I said, son, go to your room. And I told my other boys, you stay out of that room. You just go on. That's none of your business what's happened to your brother. Now get out of here. Indignantly, with dignity, I punished my child. God, with dignity, punished his children. He said, I love you so much. You're going after these false gods. You're going after these gods that have eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, mouths that cannot speak, hands that cannot handle, and feet that cannot walk. You're serving something that is nothing. In fact, you made them with your own hands. And once you made that idol, you took some of that wood that you made the idol, and you're bowing down and kissing its toe, amen. You're taking the same wood, and you're cooking your food, and you're warming your house with. Now, what in the world is God like that? That's pretty stupid, right? Hey, dumber don't get any dumber. Oh, this is my God. Well, then why are you burning your God? Well, I didn't carve that God. Well, you're burning part of that God. What if you cut off some of his face that shouldn't have been cut off and that was your God? Yeah, Dick, don't even go there, you know. God said, I don't want you to go to that. I don't want you to go to that. I want you to know that I am your God. I am the one that created you. I'm the one that loved you. I'm the one that fought your battles. And they still didn't get it. I When I discipline my child, I not discipline to hurt him. I discipline him to correct him so that someday, that when he's without his daddy, the highway patrol, the sheriff, and the police department don't have to do my job for me. I told a judge one time, I was a friend of his, and I said, you know what? I said, I don't know what you think about capital punishment. I don't think about what you think about punishment of your child, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to deal with him before you have to deal with him. He says, hey, Reverend, he said, I'm glad you are, because I got enough kids that I have to deal with because their parents would not keep them in check. Your job is to deal with your child. That's what God gave that child to you for. Not to turn them loose, act like a bunch of hooligans. People say, what in the world's going on in this world? Well, we've got 2 decades of children that don't know the Ten Commandments. We got 2 decades of kids that didn't have the Bible read to them. They don't believe that there is a God Almighty that calls you and count of what you do and what you don't do. We've got 2 decades of people in this world that think that they are owed a living instead of the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And the government ain't your daddy or mama. Now we're dealing with some things that we don't want to deal with. We're dealing with people who don't believe in authority. Well, it's a mess. And that's what God's trying to do here. God is trying, and the amazing thing, of all the things that they did against God, I want you to get this now. God still loved them with everlasting love. And may I remind you that God still loves you. No matter how far, how deep, how down you've ever got immorality and whatever, God still loves you. In all God's judgment, he graciously reminded them of his promise, reminded them of his love towards them, reminded them of his promise, a covenant that he made with their father Abraham, that he would bring them back again someday, bring them back to their country, which calls for the question, who can understand God's love? Who can understand God's mercy? Who can understand God's grace to mankind? When we were little children, the first song most of us were taught was, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes. Hey, by the way, it's still a truth that God still loves us, whether we're old or whether we're young. Our first Bible verse we learned was, we love him because he first loved us. Most of us, that was the first verse we ever learned. We love him because he first loved us. Or, for God so loved the world. In Jeremiah, we read that the love of a perfect God, the love of a holy God, the love of a promise-keeping God, he says, Jeremiah 32:41, write it down, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Wait a minute. Isn't this a God that is so ticked off, so righteous, indignant with these foolish, stupid, ignorant, he calls them fools, who went after serving the god of Moloch and burned their own babies, their own flesh and blood, burned them. He says, someday I will rejoice over them and do them good. What an amazing statement. Humanly, can we understand it? How can God love me? Say it to yourself. How can God love me? I don't get it. I'm at awed that the perfect God of heaven, the magnificent creator and sustainer of this universe, how, yes, I said how, after all that we have done, and we so grossly perverted his counsel, laughed in his face, shook our fist towards heaven many times, and cursed his holy name, and chose to worship idols fashioned and made after our own hands, and idols that have eyes that cannot see, a mouth that cannot speak, and hands that cannot handle, and feet that cannot walk, that he would still love them and me. It's quiet in here this morning because it should be quiet in here this morning. Because we're thinking, why would God love me? The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The good that we can do, God said, it's filthy rags to him. How could God love me? The times I've cursed, the times I've used God's name in vain, the times I've done some things that were certainly really inappropriate. Just plain old sin. How could God love me? He loves us. He begs us to come back to him. He says, if you come back to me, I'll forgive you of all your sins. He said, and I'll heal your lands. That's an amazing statement. All that this ungrateful nation of Israel had done, yet he still loves them. These backsliding people that he called harlots, he called the ungrateful, he called them fools, he called them backsliding heifers. With all their corruption, all their immorality, all their scheming, their meanness towards the prophets that he sent, preachers he sent to straighten them out and say, listen, if you keep going down this road, you're going to get hurt. They killed those prophets. They wanted them to realize their sin and get back to God. God kept sending them and trying to get their attention, but they kept doing what they wanted to do. And Judges chapter 17, verse 6 says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that what was right in his own eyes. All right, today, huh? Jeremiah 17, verse 9, I've quoted this many times, the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yet, the heart of the Almighty God, he still loved them, and he wanted, guess what, to restore them. Are you kidding me? I'd like to jack slap you to tomorrow, you do something like that. But God says, no. Come on back. Son, come back. Daughter, come on back. I'll do everything I can to love you. Well, that's not the way our human is. Okay, shame on you the first time, shame on me the second time, right? How many ever heard that? Sure. Yeah. But God just says, come on. As a disciple of Christ, as a Christian, we should be very careful to delight ourselves in the love of God. We should take delight in the fact that He, God, delights in His saints. To be very honest with you, I cannot see any reason in myself why God should have pleasure in me. I know me. Me is not very good. Me sinful. And if you'd be honest with me today, you'd say, me sinful too. For we often groan in our spirit, and we are burdened with many of life's trials and troubles. We are conscious, listen now, we're conscious of our sinful state, our sinful nature, our unfaithfulness, and our deploring attitude. We fear, how can a perfect God of the purest perfection love us and forgive us as imperfect people. How could anybody do like that? Because we're human, we can't even think about it. But God says, I love you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Often we contemplate that we, as God's people, cannot take much delight in ourselves. For we realize that we have so much imperfection and our follies limit us. Amen, or oh me. We lament our infirmities instead of admire our graces that God has given. We should love to dwell upon the transcendent truth, but are humanly we are unable to do that. This glorious mystery sets us reeling that God would love me. How can God love me? But the Scripture so beautifully states that He, the great Father, is the lover of our souls and our hearts. Isaiah 62 verse 5 says, For as the young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, listen to this now, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. That just puts my mind a reeling. How in the world can God love me that much? But He does. And I'm glad, because there'd be hope, no hope. Here's something that I never thought about before. Maybe you have, but I haven't. You know, nowhere in the Bible do you read that God delighted in the snow-capped and the cloud-capped mountains. He doesn't say that. Doesn't say it. Not one place did He say that He delights in these mountains that we have. Corey and I the other day rode up through Glacier, and what a magnificent ride. What a magnificent ride, and came up through that canyon and came up on that Golden Sun Highway, and there she was, Heaven's Peak. That's my favorite. And Corey took some pictures of us. And I was so delighted. I was so amazed at the magnificence of God's creation. If I had a part in writing the Bible, I think I told the magnificent beauty that God had made for us. But God never said that. He does not tell us in the Word of God that He delights in mountains. He does not mention, He does mention them, but He does not say He delights in them. He tells us He delights in us. He's not awed at the sparkling stars in the skies. He does not say that that is His delight. Now, He does say, I know the number of the stars, and I know of them all by name. That's incredible. I can't remember all my grandkids' names. But He tells us that He delights in us. Saturday night after the Ladies' Spectacular, I took my three sisters and my brother-in-law, and we went out the Highwood Road, and there's a place out there you can pull off. And I thought maybe we could see the northern lights, the aurora borealis, but they were not there that night. But I will tell you something, the stars, the sky was on fire that night. And I have on my iPhone a app that's called Night Sky 2, or it also, and also I have a sky map, and you turn that thing on, and if you hold it up to any place you hold it, it'll tell you what stars they are. I mean, we saw Jupiter, we saw Saturn, I mean, they're just blinking things, but boy, you put that on there, and it tells you that's Saturn, and that's Jupiter. And I saw the Big Dipper, and the Little Dipper, and Orion. And boy, I was getting tickled and excited just to think of what God had done. You know what? God said, you know, they even took a Hubble telescope. You know, when I was going to school, they talked about the black hole. It was the vacuum hole, the scientists said. That telescope, that Hubble telescope has shined into there. They said they found 200 more constellations greater than the ones we're in. You know what? That's not for us. That's for God. But in all the Bible, you'll never see anything that God said, I delight in my stars. He says that He delights in us. I want you to stop and think for a moment. If my mind has not failed me yet, I cannot remember reading anything in the Scripture that God delights in the heaven or in habitable parts of the earth. But He delights in the sons of men. Also, I do not think you will find in the Holy Bible that the angels give God delight, or the delight of the cherubim and the seraphim. But the Lord does say, Isaiah 64:4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, and the Lord delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married. God said, I just want you to know, I love you so much. You're so special to me, and I'm saying, God, how can I be special to you? The times I've failed you, the times I don't do what I should do, and the things I've done, things I shouldn't have done, and the things I've said, and things my mind that I've thought, oh God, how can you love me? And He says, hey, I love you. You are my delight. I don't delight in the snow-capped mountains. I don't delight in the hills and the valleys and the animals. I don't delight in that. I delight in you. You are special to me. I formed you out of the earth. I formed you out of the ground, and I breathed in you the life. And to tell you how much I really love you, I died on the cross to forgive you of all your sins. I created you for fellowship. I created you to be mine. Won't you please come back and be mine? There's a song that is sung many times. It's called, O Gracious Love. In the darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see, broke the chain that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, amazing truth to ponder. He whom angels host attend, Lord of heaven, thou somewhat yonder, He became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love that Christ, my Lord, divine, that made Him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my soul will silence never. I'll worship Him forever and praise Him for His glorious love. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You just speak to our hearts tonight. Today, there's so many things I wish I could have said today, but time fails us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would ponder in our hearts that You would love me, that You that love these that hear my voice today. The most incredible thing, Lord God, that is just amazing to me. Lord, I pray there did be anyone here today that has missed Your love, have missed Your call of love. I pray today that today would be the day that they'd accept You as their personal Savior. What a magnificent God would love us and come to this earth to die on the cross so that we would have life everlasting. It's just amazing to me. Lord God, speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask a couple of our ladies to sing this song. I hope you'll listen to it. If you're here tonight, today, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I hope today you'd step out of that seat, and I'll be up front. Let's all stand.
In my darkness, Jesus, help me. Touched my eyes and made me see. Broke sin's chains that long had bound me. Gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love.
What if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I can't imagine someone putting their hand or their fist to God and saying, I don't want you. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that all that God did for you and all the things that we've done against God, and we just keep going and going and going. Hey, why not today in your heart say, if that God loves that much, I want him. That's who I want in my heart. All the things. I could have told you myriads and myriads and myriads of things that the children of Israel did and that we've done. But I think that I gave you enough to convict your heart and realize that there is a God that loves you so much. Some of you have walked away from God. Some of you said, you know, God hasn't treated me very good. Wait a minute. So what have you done for him? Come on now. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I need Jesus as my personal Savior. I need him today. Why don't you step out? Just come on right now. The girls are going to sing a second stanza. You come right now.
Oh, come on. Amazing truth to ponder.
What more does he have to do to show that he loves you?
He whom angel hosts attend.
Are you on your way to heaven? Have you had Jesus in your heart?
Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder.
Are you serving him? Or are you like the children of Israel? Just kept running. Trouble.
Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love.
You hear there, God, I told you here today, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. When you come, let me show you the love of God today.
And praise him for.
You're here today and say, preacher, you know, we need to be a part of this church. We want to become members of the church. You come. We'll give that chance to you right now. If you'd like to be a member of our church, come on. We just want you to serve God. We want to get a hold of the things of this Word of God. Folks, this Bible's real. This is real. This is real life out here. You see all the crazy things going on in the world? Hey, it's crazy. Why don't you get in the church that's real, and it's real, all about it. I hope that you will.
In my darkness, Jesus found me. touched my eyes and made me see. Broke sin chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love.
Father in heaven, we ask you today that we remember the days that you took us, sinners, and we came before the throne of God and we begged mercy, and you gave us mercy, and you gave us life everlasting. Lord, that we have the promise of heaven forever. Would you, I beg you today, take this word of God and remind us how much you love us and how much you've given yourself for us. We have done nothing for you. But you just keep giving and giving and giving and giving. And we wonder sometimes, why would you keep giving us? But Lord God, you created us. And therefore you love us. Please speak to our hearts today. May we go to our separate homes. May we be careful that we walk close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.